Welcome to the Raging Rhino Podcast. This is podcast number 56. My name is John. Ooh, I sure hope he said peanuts. We are right in the middle of the holiday season. My favorite holiday, Halloween, has passed. My erstwhile favorite holiday, Thanksgiving, is here. My least favorite holiday, Christmas, is quickly approaching. Then finally New Year's Eve, and we start this silly cycle all over again. Halloween, Thanksgiving, and Christmas have something special in common for me. The trio of holidays have corresponding animated specials of Charles Schulz's classic Peanuts Gang. Having long gotten sick of waiting for network television to schedule it, and waiting or fast-forwarding through annoying commercials, Gina and I bought the DVD pack a few years ago. It has become an annual tradition to watch each one at least once in the days leading up to their respective holidays. The oldest and most famous of these is A Charlie Brown Christmas. In recent years, many people, mostly identifying as religious and conservative, have bemoaned how the scripture recitation by Linus near the end of the show would never make it into a new animated show these days. To a certain extent, they have a point. I doubt any network executive would be willing to have such content in some untested show not yet beloved by generations. If you're trying to lure people of all creeds to your network programming, you generally don't want something that is geared to only one creed. It is a business, not a church. So it stands to reason religious-specific messages would be considered risque. Plus, if you ever heard the story behind the development of the show, you would know a lot of things had to come together just right for them to get it on the network to begin with during those good old days that, how did Ned Flanders put it? Make us long for the America of yesteryear that only existed in the minds of us Republicans. What I'm saying is, if you think quoting Bible verses was something easy to get on network television 50 years ago, you're mistaken. It might be harder now, but it wasn't easy to begin with. One of these days, when I really want to piss people off, I'll talk about how Linus's character was wrong. That's not what Christmas is all about, Charlie Brown. But that's another podcast. What most people don't realize, or maybe they do, they just never gave it any thought, is that there are a lot of things the Peanuts kids get away with all those years ago on network TV that they would never get away with today. That's one of the topics in this podcast. I'm going to give you examples of things in the three main Peanuts holiday specials that would never fly on network television today. The other part is there are all kinds of things they do in the shows that, if they were done in real life, would get them into loads of trouble with certain state or local governments. I'm going to kind of mix these two topics in with each other as needed. But I'm going to start and end with the same topic, just from different angles. You'll see what I mean later. The Peanuts comic strip and the holiday specials never show adults, only the kids. And this really stands out in the shows as something that would never fly today. Charlie Brown and Linus walk through town to get a Christmas tree with no adult supervision. Linus and Lucy walk to a pumpkin patch and back at nightfall with no adult supervision. And it's never established that they paid for the pumpkin or had any right to be in the patch to begin with. Linus even stays out in the patch until 4 a.m., 4 o'clock in the morning, with nothing but his blanket, before anyone even thinks to go bring him in. Sally is out in the neighborhood unsupervised. Little Sally, unsupervised, looking for big brother Charlie Brown to help her write a letter to Santa. Children are going out trick-or-treating and ice skating with no adults around. Children use scissors, large kitchen knives, and electronic appliances with no supervision. That would never fly in today's world. There's not even that strange wah, 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 voice that is used to denote when an adult is talking. There are no adults around to supervise, protect, and helicopter around these children. If these specials were made today, it would be mandatory that adults be present, or at least some establishment in the dialogue that they are nearby and monitoring the Peanuts kids as they go about their lives. Because in today's world, responsible adults, properly guided by a caring government, must be omnipresent. Think that's a little overboard? Did you know school administrators in Tampa want to send child services at parents who do not meet their kindergarten children at the bus stop after school? Now, this is the modern fearful America where, if you believe the fearmongers, horrible things happen to everyone everywhere all the time. So, you can be forgiven if your programmed reaction is to say, well, of course you have to meet a kindergarten child at the bus stop. But, if you trust your neighbors, if you trust your neighborhood, if you trust your child, if you can watch your child from the stop to the house, none of that matters. The great and powerful Oz has spoken, and you must comply. Like all the other nudges that have happened to people for generations, the government perceives some problem, so it forces itself in as a solution. If you don't comply with their solution, you get into trouble. And if you don't bow to the threat, they make an example of you. That's how they worm their way into business regulations. That's how they worm their way into your paycheck and your personal earnings. That's how they worm their way into data collection. This coming atrocity in Tampa is just another example. They're worming their way in. And if you don't comply, child services will be knocking at your door. A young but smart child cannot be trusted, and a parent who does not helicopter over the child would be considered a criminal. Hell, I got into trouble in the first grade when I was walking home from school alone because I carefully looked both ways before crossing the street and crossed with no traffic whatsoever. But I did it in view of a crossing guard who told me I had to wait for her. She actually had one of the big kids run to catch me and take me back over to her intersection and wait through a full traffic light cycle before she let me cross back over to where I was before. It was the first time I sassed an adult that I didn't know. Because I was so angry, they made me walk back when I was obviously capable of crossing the street without their supervision. "Can I go now?" I snapped at her before walking across. Maybe this anti-unnecessary government and self-reliance thing goes back farther than I thought. But also, I grew up on a busy street. There were no speed bumps, but there were a lot of speeders. I knew not to go out into the street. If a ball or a frisbee made it out into the street, I knew not to go after it until I was sure no car was coming. No big deal. We just knew to be careful. That's how we were taught. Now, I live in a subdivision where they put up speed bumps on a street that in the 13 years that I have lived here, I've seen a total of 5 children playing on the street. If your kids are too stupid to run out into the street, then you don't need government to step in and fuck up the street to force drivers to drive below the posted speed limit. You need to teach your children better. Oh, I did have one incident where I was driving down that street, and a parent was standing in the middle of the street, not on the side next to the curb, but smack dab in the middle of my way, with his child, who couldn't have been more than 4 years old, standing next to him. He was talking with someone on the sidewalk. He sees me coming. He doesn't fucking move. He fucking stands there and continues to talk until I have to stop. What the hell kind of lesson is it to show your kid that you don't get out of the way of an oncoming car? What kind of person does that? Well, the kind of person that votes to have the city install speed bumps, and probably the kind who would write a letter to the network decrying the absence of adult supervision in a Peanuts cartoon. But that's not the only thing that would make modern sensibilities cringe. There are several pitiful examples of improper nutrition and food-based offenses. In fact, the architects of the new school lunch program would be aghast at the Peanuts cartoons. First off, in the Christmas special, Snoopy has an enormous pile of dog bones, and he's just inhaling them. If you've seen the episode, you know what I'm talking about. He just grabs over, just mindlessly, grabbing the bones, woofing them down. Now, you may say, that's a dog. So what? Not so fast. Remember, cartoons make children do bad things. A cartoon camel makes children smoke cigarettes. A cartoon hunter shooting a smart-mouth cartoon duck makes children shoot people. A cartoon coyote trying to blow up a cartoon roadrunner makes kids try to blow up people. That's why those things have been banned or edited in modern times. So, a cartoon dog casually eating a stack of bones will make children overeat. Next, there is Linus and his giant lollipop. you know, that's way too much processed sugar for a child to have. Whoever gave that to him, without properly dividing it into Food and Drug Administration's recommended daily allowances, is contributing to his potential obesity. Because somebody else's health problems are now everyone's health problems. Remember? In fact, it's probably the sugar high that causes him to uncharacteristically, carelessly jump into Charlie Brown's carefully raked leaves. But what do you expect? In the opening seconds of the Halloween episode, Linus picks up an apple off the ground, takes a bite, and then throws it in the garbage. I am so shocked. I don't know if I can go on. He picks an apple up off the ground. He picks an apple up off the ground. He picks a fucking apple off the fucking ground. And then he takes a bite. Oh my God. How dare this cartoon show us something so unsanitary? How dare they show such a bad example to children? How dare this cartoon not show everyone proper produce cleansing before eating? And on top of it, he just throws it in the trash after taking a single bite. The healthy food, he takes a single bite and throws it away. He wasted nearly an entire apple. It could have been sent as scraps to a local farm. It could have been added to mulch, but no, it's just trash. Hasn't he even heard of recycling? And then there's the Thanksgiving dinner itself. Popcorn, toast, pretzel sticks, and jelly beans. What a horrible example for America's youth. Carbs, 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 and more processed sugar. The toast has butter on it. And it's white bread, not even wheat or whole grain. This is an absolutely disgusting example of poor diets for today's youth. Where's Michelle Obama when you need her? In fact, I fully expect her to provide a disclaimer to be shown before that scene in the show. Children need to know that what the Peanuts kids eat at Thanksgiving is not part of this government's healthy diet choice. But that's not where the insidiousness ends. The food that was eaten, and the places where the food was prepared and served, including the plates, were touched repeatedly by a dog and a bird. Snoopy and Woodstock were instrumental in setting up the table and preparing the toast, and then Snoopy serves the plates by touching the food without any gloves on. These are blatant and egregious health code violations and a horrific example to show children. What if some child watching this cartoon grows up and opens a restaurant thinking it's okay to have a beagle prepare food? Children have to know that this is wrong, and the cartoon should be re-edited and reworked to show proper health code compliance. Because you know that because of municipal health codes, every restaurant everywhere throughout the United States is in 100% compliance, and absolutely no one ever violates the codes. All praise be to government health codes. Okay, I'm getting a little silly here, so let's move on to the next group of topics. There is a thread of taunting and disregard for other people's feelings throughout the Peanuts holiday specials. I'm going to start this portion with Linus, as he is sitting down writing a letter to the Great Pumpkin. As he is writing, several characters come by, read his letter over his shoulder, and make fun of him. Even Charlie Brown, who's normally pretty docile in the cartoon, snaps at him. Patty mocks him. Not Peppermint Patty, just Patty. She's a character that was prominent in the early years of Peanuts, but faded away along with Shermie, Violet, and Frida as the years went on. Snoopy just reads the letter and bursts into derisive laughter. Let me make a quick aside here and pull an earlier thread into this. All these characters come up to Linus, mock him, and then disappear from the scene. We know Lucy is sitting and watching TV alone, and this seems to be taking place at Linus and Lucy's house. So, do the Van Pelts just leave their door open so neighborhood kids can wander in and out, taunt their child, and walk away? Don't they know these days you're supposed to have your door locked at all times? More negligence! Of course, Lucy is the strongest voice against Linus. Not only insulting him outright, but openly voicing her dislike of her brother's beliefs to her friends and neighbors throughout the episode. That's not to say Linus doesn't have his own offenses, but I'll get to that in just a minute. Charlie Brown is thrilled because he gets an invitation to a Halloween party until Lucy reveals that he was accidentally put on the wrong list. And he should have been put on the list of who not to invite. That's exclusionary. And that's wrong. You have to include everyone and everything in today's world. And if someone has a problem that prohibits them from fully participating in an event, say a food allergy, then everyone else must sacrifice so the one may be included. Hell, this is a country where merely participating in a sport is grounds for a trophy when you're a child. And frankly, I'm surprised that scene hasn't been cut from the show, since Charlie Brown ends up going to the party anyway. Of course, he is, again, humiliated when he gets there, and the girls use the back of his bald head to draw faces for the jack-o'-lantern. Charlie Brown, of course, is not only the star. I mean, the comic strip's full name is Peanuts featuring good old Charlie Brown. But he is star-crossed. He is absolutely hapless. In the first Peanuts cartoon, A Charlie Brown Christmas, the hero is in his typical sad state. He is depressed because of the holidays. He pours his heart out to Linus as they're walking to the lake to skate, unsupervised. After he's done, Linus completely and blatantly dismisses Charlie Brown's depression. He says, "Charlie Brown, you're the only person I know who can take a wonderful season like Christmas and turn it into a problem. Maybe Lucy's right. Of all the Charlie Browns in the world, you're the Charlie Browniest." What kind of message is that to send to the children of America? Hey, kids, one of your friends is depressed, so after he's confessed his problems, just dismiss him as being weird. What happens if Charlie Brown's depression leads him to do something bad to himself or to others? How's Linus going to feel then, Linus needs to go and tell an adult immediately. The school administration needs to be involved. The authorities have to be aware of the potential danger. If you see something, say something. After all, if you miss the warning signs now, you're to blame when the shit hits the fan. I mean, just last Halloween, if this is all in continuity, Charlie Brown was talking about his dog shooting someone. Talk about your major warning signs! What the fuck is this, Son of Sam? Maybe the dog talks to him as well. Oh, did you miss that in your Peanuts cartoon viewing? if this were set in the sensible world of today. As soon as Charlie Brown mentioned his dog trying to shoot someone, he would be immediately put in isolation. You damn well better believe the police would be involved. Letters would be sent home to parents to let them know a threat to the safety and security of their children has been identified and is being dealt with. There would be whispers behind his back for the rest of his school life, if and when Charlie Brown was allowed back in school. That's the kid who says his dog is trying to shoot someone. I mean, forget the fact that it was Snoopy dressed as the World War I flying ace trying to shoot down the Red Baron in one of Snoopy's daydreams, without wearing a seatbelt, by the way. That's immaterial. A child talking about someone getting shot is a serious and punishable offense. Besides, with that kind of depression, Charlie Brown needs to be put on medication right away. That is the American way, is it not? Better living through chemicals. If Peanuts cartoons were made today, Charlie Brown would visit a doctor with his parents and go to the pharmacy to fill out his prescription for Paxil or Zoloft or children's Prozac. He would be seen as a good student and a good citizen, taking his pills as required, participating in activities, and making friends with all the people who previously mocked him. But no, Linus just ignores his friend. He negates his friend's feelings and walks on to the lake, still unsupervised by any adults. Of course, that's not Linus's only offense against the Brown family. At Halloween, Linus shows off his blatant sexism. You don't believe the story of the Great Pumpkin? I thought little girls always believed everything that was told to them. I thought little girls were innocent and trusting. Oh, so now little girls all have to be the same way? Is that it, you little blanket-carrying chauvinist? You just love to pigeonhole genders, don't you? I'm surprised the National Organization for Women hasn't called for a boycott. On the flip side, at Christmas, Sally sexually harasses Linus. Linus is obviously not interested in Sally romantically, but Sally persists in touching Linus inappropriately when she leans against him and puts her head on his chest. Furthermore, she follows him around when he tries to walk away from her. Ladies and gentlemen, that's stalking! Perhaps the entire Brown family should be in therapy. Perhaps Sally needs to be branded as a sexual predator so she learns that no means no and her actions are absolutely wrong. This is, after all, the modern way of thinking. And the Brown family, as well as the Peanuts gang in general, is not limited to insults to other genders. No. The insensitivity extends to other races as well. In the Thanksgiving special, when Franklin walks in the door, Charlie Brown greets him, and they exchange a palm slap. Didn't do that for the white girls, did you, Charlie Brown? Guess you see a black kid, and that's how you greet him. I see some racial sensitivity courses in good old Charlie Brown's future. And it doesn't matter that Franklin seems to be completely fine with it. Of course, Franklin also gets the shittiest chair at the Thanksgiving dinner table. It's the same one that Snoopy had trouble with earlier in the episode. You can barely see his eyes above the table, and yeah, you could argue that that's just a commentary on the way minorities were treated back in those days, but then you'd probably just be labeled an apologist. Oh, and speaking of the chairs at the Thanksgiving table, pulling out the chairs for the girls to sit down... What is this, the Dark Ages? Women are more than capable of pulling out their own chairs, you male chauvinist pigs. Honestly, I don't even know why they allow such barbarism on television anymore. How things are still allowed is beyond me. I'm having way too much fun with this phony outrage, aren't I? You know, the funny thing is, I started out thinking that I'd have to find a way to stretch this silly premise into a 30-minute podcast. Now I'm just about to my self-imposed limit, and I'm not even close to done. So this is going to extend to next month's podcast as well. As you can see, I'm trying to get similar examples together, like all the silly food-related items. There are some things that I just can't get grouped together, so next podcast I'm going to give you a miscellaneous category of all the little things that would never fly today. I mean, what is that at the bottom of the gutter drain anyway? Then I'm going to tell you about the one character that has more despicable actions than all the others. And it helps that it's also easily my least favorite Peanuts character. And then I'm going to turn the tables and let you know all the things that would be gladly accepted on network television and the modern American sensibilities today. And finally, as promised, I'm going to take you right back to the beginning. This is the Raging Rhino Podcast. You'll hear from me again.